This is Sunday morning worship for April 7th, the second Sunday of Easter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading for the second Sunday of Easter is from the fourth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. The full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were given their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of land or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to any as each. It was distributed to each as any had need. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading is from the first chapter of the first letter of St. John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have full fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gospel reading is from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, And thus I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Last Sunday, of course, was Easter, and there may be the temptation to think that Easter is sort of a self-contained story. We hear about Jesus rising from the dead, and we have the angels proclaiming the news that he is not here, he is risen, to the women, and then his disciples hear the news, and it's a happy story. The temptation, though, as I said, is to think that that's a self-contained story, and that's all that there is to it. Jesus rose from the dead. End of lesson. We go back about our daily lives and move on as though the story were over. But as we hear today, the story of Easter is not over. As it turns out, the story of Easter is not even just about Jesus. He is the one who rose from the dead, but that's just the beginning. There's a new story that begins on Easter morning. And this story is not just about Jesus, but this story is about us. The resurrection of Jesus changes us, too. It changes us, whether we like it or not. And indeed, some people don't really like it. Having heard the reading about Thomas, famously called Doubting Thomas, you might think that the lesson is about faith or about unbelief, but it's really more than that. Faith, unbelief, these things are not just merely a matter of whether you accept that the resurrection is true or not, but really it's more a matter of accepting and seeing what Easter means for us. How is it that the resurrection of Jesus changes our lives? To believe is to accept these changes. To disbelieve means to reject that change. And this, I think, is what Thomas does, at least at first. In a certain sense, it's easy to understand why he doesn't believe. He doesn't believe because he lives in the same world we live in. He lives in the real world, not a world of fairy tales or metaphors, but a place where dead people do not come back to life. We might say that, you know, someone lives on in our hearts. We might tell stories about certain people that died and came back to life. We might talk about resurrection as sort of a metaphorical symbol of something, but of course, it's not real, at least not in the real world. Remember, I'm saying this I'm saying this rhetorically, not saying this to say that the resurrection did not happen. What I mean, though, is that for Thomas, and I think for most people, the resurrection couldn't have happened. Why couldn't it happen? Because that just doesn't happen in this world. A world that's, we think, runs on reason, or at least our reason. A world that is scientific. A world where life does not come from death. A world where death is permanent. So as much as Thomas may have wanted Jesus to be alive, as much as he had heard Jesus speak about his own resurrection, Thomas simply cannot believe it when the other disciples tell him that they saw Jesus alive, even after Good Friday. He cannot believe it because this is just the way that it is. Now, we might be a little bit different than Thomas. We are Christians because we do believe in the resurrection. Instead of comparing ourselves to Thomas, we might be more in the situation of the other 10 disciples. The 10 are commissioned on that first Easter evening to go and tell the world about what they've seen, to tell the world about the ministry and the words of Jesus, and especially to tell about his death and his resurrection. And so Thomas becomes their first convert, as it were, or intended convert, but they fail. They try to teach him about the resurrection, but he does not believe. And so, too, I think many of us have had this experience as well. You are a believer, but you are surrounded by people that do not believe. The world in general does not believe in the resurrection. Unbelievers outnumber the believers. Some of those unbelievers even call themselves Christians. They have begun to think that, well, Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, something happened, the disciples stole his body or something like this, or somehow that he, through some sort of well-intentioned but misplaced reverence, that the disciples were inspired somehow by his life, and so therefore that in a metaphorical sense he still lived among this, or something ridiculous like this. If you go to certain churches, you can hear something like that preached, again, because living in the world that we do, it seems as though resurrection isn't really possible. So many Thomases in the world believe today. We who do believe sometimes wonder, I think, or at least I do, how can we change these people's minds? Not just strangers, but even people that we care about, people we are close to, perhaps children, perhaps husbands or wives. How can we convince them that this is true? I think to understand the problem, we have to understand why it was that Thomas, again, did not believe. Usually we think about this in terms of faith. Some people believe and some don't. Some people have faith, some don't, which is certainly very true. But I think there is another aspect to this as well. What would it really mean if Easter actually happened? What would it mean if a man who lived 2,000 years ago died, but then came back to life 3 days later? What kind of a world would we live in? Well, it would be a world much different than what most people expect it to be. If Easter is true, it changes who we are. And I think this is really what the unbelievers are resisting. If Easter is true, then we have to change how we live. And I think most people don't want to do this. Easter changes the world. How is this? Well, as I said before, in the world where life does not come after death, in the world where resurrection can't be true, that might be a sadder world, but it is a world where we get to do what we want. How do I mean that? Well, most people live as though their personal happiness were all that mattered. That doesn't mean that they're criminals or that they're bad people, but what is the focus? The focus is on doing what you want, fulfilling life as you want it to be. Usually that involves making money and being a success and being looked up to by other people and respected and all these other things. But the main thing that all people share in common is that, how would I put it, that each individual person is the center of their own world. This is the world that most people live in. It's not really a matter of reason or science. It's not reason that stops people from believing in the resurrection, I think. What stops them is that if Jesus really did rise from the dead, then all of a sudden they themselves are no longer the center of their own worlds. If Jesus rose from the dead, then the power that raised him becomes the center. If Jesus rose from the dead, then God becomes the center. And I think this is what most people don't want to have happen. Now, Thomas certainly was a believer. He would consider himself a follower of Jesus and certainly believed in God, just as there are many people who call themselves Christians today who think that they follow God and think that they follow Jesus, and yet still live as though they themselves were the center, as though they lived in the world as every unbeliever experiences it, as though they could do what they wanted. Because this is part of Easter too. When Jesus comes on that first Easter morning to the other 10 disciples, and he stands among them, and he shows them the wounds in his hands and his feet and his side, he also charges them with a mission. He tells them, "As the Father sent me, so now I send you." What this means is that what they have seen Jesus do, his life and his ministry on earth, the things that he said, the miracles he did, but especially the death he suffered, and then the resurrection that he had, now this will become their life. This life that Jesus lived, this was the life given to him by his Father. He did the things he did, he said the things he said, he died and he rose because this was the Father's plan for his life. What he's saying is that now Jesus has a similar plan for his disciples. He has a life to give them. And when I say life, I don't just mean to be alive, I mean a way to live. Things to do, words to say, a death to die, and a resurrection to come after death. The thing is that that life is now chosen by Jesus, as God had once chosen the life of Jesus for Jesus. It's not a life that the disciples would choose for themselves, but it is the life that Jesus gives them. Here's the problem with Easter. To see Jesus risen from the dead, to understand that he lives, well, now the same charge is put on us. Now we are sent to live the life that Jesus gives us, a life of his choosing and not of our own. And this is the difficulty. As sinners, we want to stay in that life in the world. We want the sort of world where resurrection doesn't happen, because we want the kind of world where we get to do what we want. But it cannot be this way. The resurrection did happen. And having seen this, now we have a different life, a life where we are not at the center, but a life where we live as God has chosen for us to live. The world is full of Thomases still, many people who have heard about Easter but don't really believe it, or people for whom the words of Jesus mean nothing. They still choose to live their old life, a life where they do what they want. But some of us have seen the resurrected Christ. We have been given this new life. And as John sort of puts it, seeing is believing. To have faith means to have seen the truth. When he wants to convince the disciples that it is actually him when he finally appears to Thomas the next Sunday. What does he show them to prove that he really did rise from the dead? Well, what he shows them is the marks in his hands and his feet and his side. He shows them the wounds he suffered on the cross, the wounds which are still there. He's not proving that he lives, but he's proving, in fact, that he died. Those wounds he also shows to us, though. What do these wounds say? That he died and that he lives. That he went to the grave, but that God did not forget him in the grave. And he shows us these wounds to show us that we will have similar wounds ourselves. He shows us what we will be. He shows us the life we will have. Some of us would like to avoid those wounds. But the problem with avoiding those wounds to avoid death means that you won't get the resurrection either. The problem with our self-chosen life is that it always ends, and it ends forever. It ends in death, and there's nothing that comes afterwards. That's how the normal world works. But the life that Jesus gives, the life where these wounds are suffered, and yet where life comes after death, this is what Jesus gives to us. We have seen it, and we cannot look away. We cannot deny that Jesus has risen from the dead. Neither can we doubt that we will rise from the dead with him. At the end of our lesson, John gives us this last sentence. He says that these words that he writes were written so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing in him, we may have life in his name. Easter is about more than the resurrection of Jesus. Easter is our new life. Easter changes who we are. Now we see who we will be. Not everyone wants to accept it, but we've seen the truth, and we cannot deny it. Jesus rises, and we will rise with him. In his name, amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Heavenly Father, your Son is the firstborn from the dead. In him we have been reborn into a new and living hope. Nurture us with the pure milk of your word, that we may grow to maturity of faith and have everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As your people are united in the common life and love of our Savior, grant that we would share that life and love with those in need. Build up the households of your people, that your holy children, begotten in baptism, may grow in your grace and share together in your forgiveness and life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As your Son's wounds brought gladness and peace to the troubled disciples, give your presence and comfort to the troubled in our midst. Comfort them also who weep, and grant them the blessed joy of Easter morning. Hear our prayers today for Joe, Cecil, Nick, Joey, Gordon, Jacob, Ron, Karen, Mike, Margaret, John, Cindy, Donna, Elizabeth, Jean, Vonnie, and also for Shirley Rothman, Jerry Yates, Mike Yates, Larry Nelson, Bob Belladonis, Courtney Cooker, Terry Sheldon, Elizabeth, Tim Bradford, Neil Montgomery, and Phyllis Vanover. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that out of your indestructible grace, for the sake of your Son, you have given us the Holy Gospel and instituted the Blessed Sacraments, that through them we may have comfort and the forgiveness of sins. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may heartily believe your word, and through the Holy Sacraments establish our faith day by day, until at last we obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.